of us have heard this story before. This is how the church started. After Easter, the very first Easter, the resurrection of Jesus, after it had been shared that Christ was alive, where were the disciples? They were hiding out, locked up, scared. They heard the news, but they couldn't believe it. They were afraid to believe it. They were just plain afraid. They were so anxious that what had happened to Jesus, the crucifixion, might happen to them. And so they were huddled in that upper room, maybe even the same room that they had their last supper with Jesus. Resurrection had not penetrated for them yet. It was too good to be true. Too amazing. Too extraordinary. And into that fearful space came Jesus. And his first and main word to them was, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." Now, that made all the difference in the world. Not only because what they saw and experienced was amazing, but they knew Jesus. They recognized him, and they were overjoyed. Seeing with their own eyes, experiencing for themselves the presence of Christ, allowed them to believe. But one was missing, right? Someone wasn't there. And history has been really hard on Thomas, right? Doubting Thomas. Skeptical Thomas. Well, Thomas is all of us, let's be clear. And he was the one that wasn't so scared that he was out, probably doing something, getting food. I don't know what he was doing out. We shouldn't be so hard on him. But he wasn't there. And when he got back, they said, "We've seen the Lord." Are you guys delusional? Are you kidding me? I'm not going to believe it. Unless I see with my own eyes, unless I can put my finger in his wounds, I'm not going to believe it. That's a good human reaction to something unbelievable. It's also a trauma reaction, right? They've all been through terrible trauma. And trusting that things are going to be okay is hard to do when you've been through trauma. And we are not so different than Thomas. We're not so different than those fearful disciples. We live in an age of AI and deep fakes and retouched photographs and special effects. We're probably even more skeptical than Thomas was. Because seeing isn't believing anymore. You can't believe what you see. I made the mistake the other day of sharing a little video about, it was about plants and food. I thought it was interesting information. And my son sends me a quick response. "This is AI, Dad. Can't trust it." We know something about anxiety these days, don't we? Between the climate crisis and COVID and the Trump era, the latest and growing wars being waged all around the world, we are embedded in an age of anxiety. And we've all heard the Easter news. Most of us have heard it over and over and over again. The tomb is empty. Jesus is alive. But it's one thing to trust in the teachings of Jesus. It's hard to wrap our modern and postmodern minds around bodily resurrection. Even though some of us who are retired nurses have seen something pretty close to bodily resurrection themselves, I bet some of you. People who live against all odds and science, sometimes. Some of us are lucky. We have spent years with Jesus, getting to know Jesus. At some point in our lives, we met Christ. And we had a chance to see or maybe hear for ourselves that Christ is alive today. We've experienced it in some significant way. Some of us have had a personal and powerful experience of the risen Christ. But like Thomas, many of us have not had that experience. Even if we've been going to church our whole lives, or not. We weren't there the night Jesus appeared to everyone else. We've heard about it, maybe we even want to believe it. But we haven't seen and experienced the real presence of Christ for ourselves. So it's pretty hard to believe. Thomas refused to believe what all of his friends, his fellow disciples, told him he had to see for himself. And our sacred story, the Gospel of John in this case, tells us that Jesus came back again to help Thomas believe. There did not seem to be any other reason for that second appearance. But where does that leave the rest of us who weren't there over 2,000 years ago to experience it for ourselves? It's easy to write off resurrection as pious fiction. The word of a few emotionally unstable people about an empty tomb and seeing their dead leader would probably not stand up in any court, ancient or modern. But as Frederick Buechner once said, it is not his absence from the grave that convinces us. It is his presence in our empty lives that convinces us. When Jesus appeared to them and gave them a word of peace, that made all the difference. Because they knew Jesus, they loved him and trusted him. And the quality and the intimacy of the relationship was the key. Now, even if you don't have children of your own, I wonder, have you ever tried to comfort an upset child who doesn't know you or barely knows you, it doesn't work very well, right? If a small child is afraid or hurt and is crying, the kind and reassuring words of a stranger will probably not help very much. Once in a while it can. But if someone they know and love and trust comes along, it can make all the difference. That's true for us adults too, right? The reassuring platitudes of strangers, or even people we know but we maybe not trust that much, or have that closer relationship, doesn't make the same difference as someone we know and love and trust. That can make a big difference. Maybe you've heard this story of a little child who was startled awake on a stormy night. The wind and the rain and the thunder frightened her so much that she ran into her mom's bedroom. And she climbed into bed, and after a bit of a cuddle, her mom tried to reassure her and said, "It's all right, dear. God is there in your room with you. You don't need to be afraid. Go back to bed." Reluctantly, she went back to her room. But the next time the thunder struck, back into mom's bedroom. So mom reminds her again, "I know it's loud and scary, but remember, honey, God is there in the room with you. Everything's okay. You don't need to be afraid." "I know," said the little girl, "but I need God with skin on." We all do need God with skin on. That's one of the ways we understand who Jesus is, Christ is. God in person, God embodied, God in skin on. But now that Jesus is not present with us directly, in body, sometimes God with skin on is in the shape of a warm hug, or a genuine handshake, or just a wink, a hello, a look of recognition, a kindness. Our scripture story tells us that Thomas believed when he saw Jesus in person. Then Jesus says, "Do you believe because you can see me? Happy are those who don't see and yet believe." Now this is one of those verses that Jesus may have said those exact words, but the Gospel of John was written, at least 3 or 4 generations after this event. And I think it's carefully worded to speak a word of teaching to the people of faith who had not experienced Jesus' direct presence. There's some good editorializing. There's lots of editorializing in John. Doesn't make it untrue. Jesus is talking to us in this case, to all the listeners that come later. "Do you believe because you see me? Happy are those who don't see and yet believe." That is our challenge. And Christ blesses us for it. The truth is that hearing the story of resurrection, even if we hear it over and over again, is not enough to create deep faith, deep trust in the living presence of Christ. Just like that little girl who was afraid of the storm, we need to experience God with skin on in a matter of words. We need to experience the loving presence of Christ for ourselves, perhaps through the real life presence of other people, through worship, music, study, service together, various spiritual practices, like the Heartstone, like a spiritual walk, gathering in a small group, as some of us do, and we'll be encouraging more of us to do in the coming months. We need to develop a close relationship with the Holy One, a deep awareness of Christ's real presence in our lives. My wife was talking to somebody else, and I overheard her say this. She said, "I believe that I'm called to receive the divine love of God and to transmit it to others." Couldn't have said it better myself. But she said, "If my antenna is not working, if my antenna is broken, if it's rusty or just not working right, then I can't do it." Building up our relationship with God in various ways is about keeping our antenna in shape so that we can receive, first of all, and then transmit divine love. Just like the disciples were afraid of many things, we're afraid, perhaps even, if Christ is alive, that resurrection isn't possible for us today, in our family, in our relationships, for our planet. Maybe we're even afraid of resurrection, or having truly new lives. We're afraid to live the truth of Easter, to die to our old selves, to live new lives. Resurrection takes courage, and changing our lifestyle, changing our world, takes courage. Friends, we are not people of the tomb. We are Easter people. We are not people of fear, although we feel fear. We are people of resurrection and renewed life. And the way we can truly live as Easter people is to know and experience the risen Christ in our lives.